It is a privilege. Let me share the word for a few minutes and then we'll jump into baptisms. We're doing a little series here leading up to Easter called All In, where we're talking about being all in for our faith. A couple weeks ago, we talked about being baptized and wanting to identify with Jesus, so we're going to get to see that here in a little bit. And then last week, we had David Nelms here with us, and he was talking about it being our turn to share the gospel. And so today, we're going to talk about the great commandment, being all in on loving Jesus. But can you command love? You must love. Can you command that? I've talked about this before. Some of you heard this, but we had a coach in high school, Coach Bogrand. He coached, you know, did PE coaching. He was my class was weight training and conditioning. So that's what we do. He'd make us run the stairs all the time and lift weights. But every so often, he would say, "Today, we were playing softball." And so he was one of those coaches that wore the shorts year round, and he had calves about this big, and a very intimidating presence. It was like, "Today, we are playing softball. You will like it, and you will have fun." And we were like, "Yes, coach, we will." Can you make people have fun playing softball? Well, he could, because if we didn't, we would run the stairs. So he could command us to have fun playing softball, and we did. But can you command somebody to love somebody? Right? I know maybe some of the freshman guys are trying it on campus, but you can't do it that way, right? Sorry, guys. Okay, but the Lord Jesus actually gives a command to love him. So this is in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and they've been sort of quizzing Jesus with all these questions. This is nearing him going to the cross. And so one of the questions Jesus was asked was this. It says in Mark 12, 28, "One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?'" So this is for if you're a bottom line person, like, okay, just give me the bottom line. This guy's asking your question. So Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" So he said, that's the most important command. But it is a command, right? You shall love the Lord. You shall love the Lord. It's a command. It's called the Great Commandment, and that's how we remember it. But how can love be commanded? Right? How can love be? You've seen that bumper sticker, that pirate logo, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Like, this isn't helping, right? That might work on a pirate ship, but can you must love me. It just feels, how do you command love? But there Jesus said it's the greatest commandment. It's the most important commandment. So how can God command us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Can you do that? Why would he do that? So the context of love being commanded is that it's rooted in God's love and redemption. Right? That's the context. So I want to show us that. When he tells us to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind, it's rooted in his love and his redemption. So what Jesus gave there when they said, what's the greatest, what's the most important commandment? He quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this is called the Great Shema, or it means the Great Hear. This is quoted, this is stated by Jews to this day, many times a day. This is stated as a reminder of the most important thing. So when they asked Jesus that question, he actually quoted from this passage in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And he goes on, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." So that's what's going on there. It's interesting, though, the original has just three. I don't know if you picked that up. Heart, soul, and might. And then when Jesus said it in the Mark passage, he has might as mind and strength. That original word for might, it's really, it's muchness. which isn't, I mean, like, well, how do you use that word? But it's just the full energy. So I think what Jesus did is he put it in two pieces for us. It's your mind, so you're focused on it, and your strength. That word for might, that muchness, that everything you can bring to it, your thoughts, your energy, your strength. So he put it into two words for us. But what I want to show you is the whole context of Deuteronomy, of that being commanded that Jesus quoted many times. I'm going to show you one. Many times in the book of Deuteronomy, God's people are there with Moses, and he's reminding them of the law, but he's also reminding them of God's love. So when he says, you should love me with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, or all your heart, soul, and might, it's in the context of God rescuing them. The people of God were slaves in Egypt. So here's just one place. There's several of these passages in Deuteronomy, but it's giving the context for the command. He says in Deuteronomy 7:6, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession." Right? Something incredibly important to him. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, right? God could have chose anybody, but he called Abram. He called and made the people of Israel, said, "You are my people." It was not because you were more in number than any of the other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. He's saying it's not because you were a big deal. You weren't. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. The context of God choosing Israel wasn't because they were great and he said, boy, I could really go far with that one. It's not like the upcoming NFL draft where the team's like, oh, look at that specimen. Look at how fast that guy runs. I'm going to put them on my team. He said, actually, you were weak. You were helpless. You were small. You weren't great, but I chose you just because I love you. And he's a God who keeps promises. He said, I promised Abraham. So that's the context. He says, I was keeping the oath that I swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love. It just keeps coming with those who love him and keep his commandments. I want us to read this part. It shows the full side. It says, keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with the one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. And so we see both of those things together. We see God as a promise-keeping, loving God who chose Israel and worked with Israel. And he says, I keep loving you, but I want you to know the full reality. If you hate God and you reject God, you will receive the wrath of God. He's just saying, I'm putting it all up front. But the context of the great commandment is rooted in God's love and redemption, which was first shown to the people of Israel by rescuing them from slavery and bringing them out from under Pharaoh, and it's magnified at the cross. When God says, I'm commanding you to love me, it's rooted in his redeeming love and the cross. 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love comes first. And so when he sends his son Jesus, he doesn't just send his son Jesus, he sends him to be the propitiation or the sacrifice that pays the sin, that satisfies the wrath of God. He sent him to be the sacrifice. So it's rooted in the cross. In John 10, Jesus declares this about himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that takes care of my sheep. And he says, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I love that passage. Why was Jesus crucified? Was it because Judas betrayed him? Was it because the Romans were really strong and powerful? Was it because his own people handed him over? Was it because he couldn't figure out his way out of the garden? He didn't know where the back exit was? Was it any of those things? No, he willingly, I lay down my life for the sheep. Those were the things that carried it out, but it was all at his will. It was all his choice. So when the Lord Jesus comes, he says, I'm coming to lay down my life. That is my very purpose, is the cross. I'm laying down my life. And what he cried from the cross, this is about the ninth hour, so he's been nailed to a cross for 6 hours at this point. It says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So I don't want to miss this when you hear Jesus say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. He did it first, right? He leaves heaven, he comes to earth, he walks the earth, he's perfectly sinless. He's betrayed by his own disciple, his own people, by the Romans. Everyone thought it was a sham thing. And he's on a cross, and then he endures the forsaking of the Father. All the wrath of God goes on him. And there's Jesus hanging on the cross. I'm the good shepherd. I love my sheep. So when he says, love me with all you've got, no, he's loved you with all he's got. Literally. With all he's got. He literally shed his blood. He literally endured the forsaking of God so that you don't ever, ever, ever have to hear those words when you trust Christ. So that's the rooting when he says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He has loved you first. He has redeemed you first. It is a responsive love. So he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's because I love you. You're responding. But some might go, yeah, but it's still a command, right? It's still, something feels wrong about that. Shouldn't it be organic? Shouldn't it be voluntary? How can he tell us it's a command? It's commanded out of love because it's actually the best thing for us, right? Just because it's a command doesn't mean it's not loving. I could command you today, do not drink poison. Do not. When I was a kid, we had Mr. Yuck stickers, and you put them on the bleach, and you put it on the dish soap, right? Don't eat that, right? It would be loving for me to tell you, do not eat poison. Would you? Well, you're not going to command me. You just watch, right? The command isn't the point. I care about you. I don't want you to drink poison, right? Students, I command you to study for your finals. Yeah, so there's some panic up here. Like, that's why we're at church today. We're not studying. That's not unloving, right? I think it's finals week next week, right? What is it? Yeah. So this is hitting home. It's finals week. They're hoping the Lord would give them a miracle delay and they get A's. But it wouldn't be wrong for me to command you study for your finals. Get a good grade. Put in the time. It's not unloving or it's not, well, I'm not going to do it just because he said. It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. I command you to work hard and respect your boss. Right. Oh, yeah, right? The whole point, you want a job? You need to work hard. You need to respect your boss. Just because it's commanded doesn't take away the importance, doesn't take the necessity of it. It's a good thing to be told to do something that is good for you. So when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, it's rooted in his love, and it's good for you. So just because he's commanding it, don't let that cause a reaction. You can't make me love. This is the very best thing that we can do. It is the best thing for us. So just quickly, I'll just think, what does it look like for us to do it? And so we could come up with a lot of things, but I think one of the simplest ones is that it's all about what we pay attention to or who we pay attention to. So this is a very common thing you can find, and it's easy to do, but if you go to a coffee shop or restaurant, you see people on a date not interacting with each other, right? This is how you don't get a second date. Like, oh, I just got to take this. This is my buddy, right? It's not going to work, right? You can't. I know I'm Gen X, so I'm the generation that switched from analog to digital. So I'm the last generation that knows both worlds. But if this is God, and you're loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right after I check my phone, right? It is so hard. So I just show that it's all about what we pay attention to. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you got to pay attention to him. And so I would urge us strongly not to do your devotional reading with your phone. unless you've turned off all notifications, which seems very hard to do. They find a way through, right? Ping. So I would, if you're going to pay attention to God, we got to put devices away and distractions away and turn it off. When I'm doing it at work, I'll have a little bit of prayer time here and studying. I have to turn off multiple things. I have a desk phone and a cell phone and a chat thing and an email. And like, it takes actually a while for me to turn off all the things. And then I have a white noise sound machine that's going just so I can pay attention to God. But I urge you to do that. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, it starts with just paying attention to Him, reading His Word, praying, listening, getting in quiet and listening to God, spending time focusing on Him. We can be so distracted and we can waste so much time. I know I can waste time doing things that are not helpful. So we can waste time. We can just be flat too busy. So some of us need to protect the time. If I want to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and strength, it's got to get in my schedule. I've got to plan for it. I've got to say no to some things. Sometimes we're not loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind because we are actively engaging in sin. And we know it. Whatever it is, little, big, and He's saying, we don't want to go to Him if we're doing this over here. We don't want to go to Him. And so if we're actively engaging in sin, we're not connecting to the Lord, and we need to repent. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us when we're doing those things, right? When you're too distracted, too busy, in rebellion, it can leave us feeling guilty. I just don't feel good about it. It can leave us just doing meaningless things. I'm just wasting time online. I'm just wasting time. There's no purpose to this, right? We just heard you can join, was it Kylie who was, you could join her walking your campus and praying for students, or we can waste time. Like, oh, there's something meaningful. I prayed with somebody, or I wasted time. It leaves us anxious. When we're not getting input from the God who created the universe and the Lord Jesus Christ at His right hand, if He's not giving input into our life because we're too busy, too distracted, or rebellious, we get very anxious. And you get very lonely. We get dry from not being with the Lord. And so when you prioritize God, you're going to find His love, His joy, His hope, His peace, direction, purpose. It all comes in there. It is a command because it is the best thing for us. So to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, it's good. And just start with paying attention to God this week. So let me just jump us right over here. And this is what we're going to hear when we're talking about baptism. These guys getting baptized are saying, I love Jesus. I'm responding to Jesus. And I want to get baptized. So I'm just going to go through these things real quick. So, because if you're in this room and you're a follower of Jesus and you're saying, I need to get baptized, what is baptized? This is what you're saying. And we have a little card. If you want to get baptized today, you can do this. And there's a little card I have over here you could sign. You could say, I have repented. I've changed my mind and I'm turning to Jesus. I trust that Jesus Christ has died for my sins and had risen again. I submit my life to Him knowing that He is the Lord of all. So the people getting baptized are declaring that. If you want to get baptized today, you're declaring, I'm turning to Jesus. You're saying, I want to be baptized today. I'm ready to publicly to declare to all that I have placed my trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and have submitted my life to Him. The baptism is that public declaration. And then you're saying, I will devote my life to Jesus wherever He leads, no matter the cost. So let me pray, and we're going to sing a worship song while we transition our folks getting baptized today. And then if that's you, you're in the room, and you're going, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want to get baptized today, just come back here. We've got shorts, we've got towels, we've got t-shirts. You can get baptized today if the Lord's calling you. So Lord Jesus, we just come and thank You. Help us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I pray that we would pay attention to You this week. Myself, I put away distractions. I thank You for the students getting baptized and the brother here getting baptized, Lord. If there's any more, right now You're moving in your heart. Would You give him courage to just get up and walk over here? And Lord, we just thank You that You loved us so much to go to that cross. We worship You and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing, and then in a moment we'll be baptizing. If you're feeling the Lord calling you to be baptized, just come right over here to this door.